Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are in the time of Easter, the sixth Sunday already in this time of jubilation where Jesus Christ overcame death, sin and devil, and he called his disciples and reinforced and reaffirmed and confirmed them in the teachings which he had given to them even before they went up to Jerusalem. But with that great calamity of Good Friday, they had forgotten most of it. They had thought he would save Israel, and then when he was dead, they gave up on all that. So Jesus, in the time when he has risen and calls his disciples, John and Peter, and even those doubters like Thomas, and he opens their eyes and lets them feel the holes in the hands and the spear wound in the side to make sure that they realize it is him and that, yes, he is not dead but is alive. He again emphasized those things which were supposed to carry their faith even when he was ascending into heaven. Now, one of these main pillars of the church, these signs and markers of the church, is prayer. No doubt about that. Like in every big religion, this plays a fundamental role in the life of the believers, be it Buddhists, be it Muslims, be it Christians. Now, today's word from Exodus wants to show us that our prayers can be misdirected. They can be going to the wrong address. And that has got various reasons. There with the people of Israel, the time in the desert was taking its toll. We run out of patience quickly if we don't find a solution to our problems right now, immediately, and if we have to wait. 40 days are just too long. Never mind 40 years. And therefore people again and again start giving up on waiting for God, who intends the best for us and wants to put the very best in place for each one of us. We sometimes give up on him just too quickly, like the Israelites. When Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to receive those commandments from God, they in turn thought, well, we better take fend for ourselves and we better make a plan. And they formed that golden calf, which has become synonymous with all idols which we human beings create for ourselves. I'm sure most of us don't have a real golden calf, but we've got things which fit into that category very nicely. It was something visible. It was something tangible, it was something they could see. I'm sure the dancing around the calf was also quite spectacular. It must have moved them quite deeply that all of them were quite touched and even inspired by it. And still it was the most terrible dancing which you can imagine. Angering God, the one God of Israel, the one God in who created heaven and earth, the one and only God, so deeply that he wanted to wipe them out. Not let them get away with this kind of idolatry, because hear, O Israel, your God is but one, and there is no other God beside him. That is the prayer and the confession and the pillar of faith which stands in the true church, or it is not the church. It is some kind of religion, perhaps, some kind of cul-de-sac leading nowhere. Well, there were times when Israel did this even later on. You know the story of the more than 400 priests jumping and jiving around the altar of Baal. Because Israel again had left the clear commandment that there is but one God, and had attached themselves to the gods of the promised land. See, they were saved from Egypt, where they also worshipped different gods. Say now, Pharaoh, who said he was the living embodification of the deity, who even in death built pyramids that would outlast all generations, which are still visible for us today. They had left that, and God had shown that he was more mighty than Pharaoh, this institution of slavery there, and the Israelites had escaped miraculously through the Red Sea. They'd been kept through the desert for those many years. They'd been brought into the promised land, and now again they were more attached to those gods who were promising flourishing life, prosperity, things which rarely meant a lot as they were going about their daily lives of planting and harvesting, going about their business of raising families, etc. It was all good and nice to have a God who could save from the hands of Egypt, and who could save us from death, sin and devil in the far distant past, but we need a God who can help us now with those things which we need to make this life so much better, like the Baalim promised. And they would jump around that altar, they would cut themselves bleeding, really going the distance, not sparing anything, making a big noise to the Lord, probably a beautiful one in their ears, but they were not heard, because the Baalim are not God. They are idols. And even though the big king and his lovely queen followed that way, they were misleading the people. And there only was Elijah left, who in a very simple way silently prayed, and God answered his prayer, devoured that altar that had been drenched in water and the whole beast on there, making sure that Israel would realize, yes, there is but one God. Moses and Elijah, those two at the transfiguration there, where we see it in front of us on that picture, when Jesus stands there on the Mount of Transfiguration, reminding us that these old prophets, they are pointing to him, Jesus, to whom the Father says, this is my son, listen to him. Yes, he is the real God. This Jesus Christ among us. And in his name we now pray to the Father whom we still can't see, and who still takes sometimes years to answer our prayers. Sometimes even in such a way that we realize, thank God, he led me differently than I thought he should have led me. It has become much better. My dear friends, this Jesus Christ teaches us to pray the words of the Our Father. Nothing spectacular. Nothing out of this world, really. Very similar to the prayers of the Jews, the 18 petition prayer. But the big difference is that it is heard by our Heavenly Father. It's much better to have a petition which actually gets to the goal than to have pages and pages of wonderfully worded argumentations which don't reach the mark, which don't move the heart of the Father in heaven. That is why we as a church, as a Christian church throughout the world, can limit ourselves to even just these small words which we just repeated now, Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. And he has mercy and has heard our prayers, and that's why we answer with his wonderful song, all glory be to God on high. Because he's heard our prayers. That's why we don't need to have somebody else stand in for us. No, we, like the blind man, like the father of the son who was caught by the evil spirit, we can just ask Jesus, please help us. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. And he does have mercy on us in the most wonderful ways. He helps and takes care of our prayers. My dear friends, here in this word from the Mount Sinai, God shows us something else too. And he shows us that he actually hears our prayers which we give for other people. Now that's a great comfort for parents. That's a great comfort for children who are praying for their parents. That's a great comfort for pastors praying for their congregations. That's a great comfort for spouses praying for their wives or for their husbands, because God actually hears our prayers which we give for other people. Here Moses is praying for Israel. Now we must know that God really was fed up with Israel. Now God does not waste any words. If he says, I'm going to get rid of these people, then that really is eminent. He shows that he can do that there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember this story when God visited Abraham there in Mamre? And Abraham also talked to him and said, if there are just 50 righteous in that place. And God said, yes, okay, only 50, I will not destroy it. And Abraham deals and wheels with God and brings him down to 10. If there are only 10, do you hear how God is willing to listen to his people? Like Abraham, like Moses. Yes, the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, however, shows us that God is deadly serious if he says there were not even 10. So Lot and his wife and children and daughters were saved, brought out, but the rest was destroyed most terribly. So this Israel was really in grave danger when God said, I will wipe them out of this world. Now, what does Moses do? Moses tackles God with his honor. He says, you promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that you would take care of their children, that you would make them as many as the stars in the sky. And what will the heathen people think if you can't even lead them out of Egypt and bring them safely into the promised land? What will they think? They will think you are not a real God. You are an idol-like, hopeless. And so God actually relents. He steps back from his wrath. And for this vicarious prayer of Moses, he actually spares Israel, as he did so many times, again and again. Just like he has spared us again and again. When we ask in the name of Jesus to have mercy on us poor, miserable sinners. And he forgives us our sins and says, I won't destroy you. Go in peace. We have got a voice stronger than that of Moses. Even stronger than that of Elijah. We've got the voice of Jesus Christ, who pleads for us, who has granted us his Holy Spirit, that whatever we ask of the Father, he will grant it to us. My dear friends, that is wonderful. That is reason to rejoice. That is reason that we should not despair, but rather walk about with a smile every day of our life. Even there where it is really difficult, because we know these sufferings are temporary and short. And it is good for you that I'm going, because when I'm gone, I will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he will lead you and guide you in all truth. And he will remind you of everything I have told you. And as he reminds us, he will also remind us of that, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. So you are not alone. I am with you all the days of your life. Yes. And you do not need to despair as you are faced with those big challenges in your life. Because ask and it will be given to you. Man, how privileged we are as Christians, as children of the Heavenly Father. We know he is for us entirely. He is not out to get us. He really carries us in his most special favor. Each one. And I know that is way beyond our comprehension, really. And therefore we must ask again and again, Lord Heavenly Father, I believe, strengthen my unbelief. And grant then I will with confidence say again and again, Amen, when I have prayed. Yes, it will be like that. Teach me to say Amen with confidence. Amen. And the peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
Deinen Werk ist hart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take us